the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. You're tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Happy early Father's Day, you guys.
Oh, thank you. Well,
thank you. We appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So, big plans, Dave?
Yes. Just don't know what they are yet, but they're big.
Okay. They're big. Well, good.
Caught me off guard. Really, I don't have any
plans
yet.
What about you?
Me? I'll be with family. We'll be celebrating my mother-in-law's 87th birthday.
Oh, there you go. Oh,
yeah, nice. So, you know, won't. I don't know how much of a Father's Day it'll be, but it definitely would be a happy birthday. It'll be there a combo. So
good.
All right. Well, today is the feast day of St. John Francis Regis, and it's also Solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. So there's a lot going on in the church today, a special day in a lot of ways. But there is a prayer to St. John Francis Regis, so we're going to offer that up today for his intercession to start our show. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O God, whose priest, St. John Francis Regis, a friend of the poor, the sick, and the wayward, eagerly desired to evangelize the people of North America, grant, we ask, that we who serve you in his place may be filled with his same spirit and zeal. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. John Francis Regis, pray for us. Yes. By the way, there's a number of church parishes, apartment complexes, swimming pools, you wouldn't believe, lakes, mountain ranges, named after this saint.
No kidding.
Yeah,
really?
even in Arneville, there's a special tribute to him.
Is
in Arneville,
right?
Louisiana.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I just learned something today. And the response, by the way, if we are to hear or say, O most sacred heart of Jesus, we, instead of saying pray for us, because, you know, we say have mercy on us.
Amen to that.
Yes.
There we go. Mm-hmm.
And our country.
And our country,
well,
indeed.
Yes, definitely. Thank you for that fun fact, Damian. I always love those. I'm going to have to definitely take, when I see a Regis apartment complex, I'll think of St.
Right.
John Francis Regis.
He's patron saint of apartment complex. And what'd you say? Swimming pools?
Swimming pools.
Okay.
Lakes.
Sounds
amazing,
like a fun guy. Yeah. Okay.
And you can hear Karen laughing.
His mission was to take care of at-risk women and orphans.
Okay.
Early 1600s.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to tie that in with swimming pools and lakes, but that's we'll find out.
Hey, if he had a taste of this weather we're experiencing,
yeah, he would definitely be. We need one of those patron saints right now. Yes.
Oh man. Well, real quick before we get to the weather, we're joined by Emily Chapman today. She's a Catholic author of the book Mary, Mother of All. Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, will be joining us, and Adelaide Hude is a Catholic author and illustrator. And today we are talking about her book called Sanctus, 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 an introductory Latin Mass for children. You guys, I think I need this one. It has pictures, guides, and everything you need when you go to the Latin Mass. So
I would like a copy for myself. Yes.
That's what I said. I need one.
I need pictures, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the heat continues to be our primary focus for the weather. It's going to have another heat advisory now through Monday. It is just plumb hot. Highs close to 100 degrees, heat index in the 105 to 110 range, and only a 5% chance of rain today, 20% tomorrow as far as rain goes. Same for Sunday, and the highs are going to continue to be the way they are right now. Current temperatures, everyone in the low 80s, and keep praying we get some rain. In the meantime, we've got more coming your way this morning on this Friday morning on Wake Up.
Good morning, a blessed solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel comes to us from Matthew chapter 11. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
On the feast day when we honor the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, let us reflect on the teaching of St. Teresa of Calcutta. Two ideas were central to our spirituality. Mother Teresa was so struck by Jesus' words on the cross, "I thirst," that these two words are prominently displayed in every chapel of the Missionaries of Charity. She explains that these words go beyond the expression, "I love you." They signify a profound longing that is beyond our experience and even our imagination. It cannot be explained in words, but only experienced in the oneness of prayer, where we can hear Jesus say to us, "I thirst for you. I long for all of you." And therefore, Mother Teresa taught, listen to Jesus' thirst for you. Let his cry be for each one of us, the word of life. And thus she was driven to bring the poorest of the poor to Jesus. We can also carry them on the litter of our prayers. Secondly, Mother Teresa was profoundly moved by Psalm 69, verse 20, which referred to Jesus' passion. Insults have broken my heart, so I am in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. Listen to the challenge she gave herself, her sisters, and to the world. Tell Jesus, "I will be the one. I will comfort, encourage, and love you." Be with Jesus. He prayed and prayed, and then he went to look for consolation, but there was none. Be the one. Try to be the one to share with him, to comfort him, to console him. Finally, she urges us to ask our Blessed Mother to help us understand the heart of Jesus. For she first heard that cry, "I thirst," and she watched her son die with a broken heart. Mary will lead us to come close to the heart of Jesus so we can understand his terrible pain caused by the rejection of our sins. This is how we are changed and can become Jesus' instruments to overcome the great evil of the lack of love, which is reflected in indifference to God and the needs of our neighbor. Mother Teresa understood that the greatest need in our world is that hunger for love. And so let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, living in Mary, help me to be the one to console Jesus' broken heart. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sayers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers. 11 after the hour on this happy, happy Friday morning. Good morning to each and every one of you. Thank you for tuning in to Wake Up. And thanks for watching us on Catholic Life TV in Baton Rouge. And we've got some events we want to share with you before the weekend gets here. You know, one thing, and this isn't necessarily an event as much as it's a thought-provoking comment. You know, through our baptism, God calls us to proclaim new life to the world. Well, pray for those who have heard the good news as priests, brothers, and sisters. You know, if God is calling you to minister to his church as a priest or religious, you can easily find Joshua Johnson, Father Joshua Johnson. You can reach out to him by calling him or going to his website or going to ccmedia.live, and you'll get all those details as to reaching out to him and explore if God is calling you to the priesthood again or religious life. Hopefully he is, and pursue that if you have that, mm-hmm. and it'll help you discern it as well.
He's the Diocese of Baton Rouge.
That's correct.
Right, if you're discerning there. And then, of course, your other vocations office, too, if something comes to mind. You know, another thing I'd like to throw in there, Damien, this is a time of transitions for a lot of our priests, mm-hmm. Going to different parishes and everything. Let's pray for them. Moving is not simple. Moving is
no.
difficult, and sometimes it's traumatic. And so, you know, there's changing jobs and moving residents and stuff. This is tough. So pray for the guys, and let's do anything we can do to help them out, right?
Well, also, in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, you can contact Colin Cahill. He's the Director of Vocations. And then in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, Father Braxton Niekase, you can contact him as well if you're in that diocese.
Homa, you mean? Homa Thibodeau?
Nope. Father Braxton Niekase is in the Diocese of Biloxi.
Biloxi. I'm sorry. Okay, gotcha. Yes. Gotcha. All right. Great. Hotel Hope is a 24-room motel that shelters homeless mothers and their children. It's housed in the former Crescent Palms Motel, and that's on Martin Luther King in New Orleans. Hotel Hope provides temporary home in a secure location for families while assisting the mothers in finding sustainable employment and permanent housing. And with no license to cook or meals for the guests at the hotel, there's a need for volunteers to deliver evening meals for the families, and volunteers are also needed to staff the front desk and 4-hour shifts. And you'd be if you're interested in providing a meal or being a concierge, go to ccmedia.live. It's a wonderful thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, and if you want to check out their Amazon storefront and donate items directly to Hotel Hope's front door, you can go to hotelhope.org. There's a link on their website for more information on how you can purchase items that they physically need as well. Well, the Cenacle on the Lake continues to offer Women of Manresa retreats, where a Jesuit priest will offer the spiritual exercises for women at the Cenacle on the Lake. These retreats are not hosted at Manresa. The retreats will follow the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. There's a retreat happening in December at the Manresa Retreat House and in April at Jesuit High School in New Orleans.
Gotta sign up now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, those are just some of the events. You can go to ccmedia.live to get more details, and you'll find a lot of things there when you go to our website. It's worth exploring. Coming up next, Emily Chapman is going to be here talking about her book, Mary, Mother of All.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 16th. Today we celebrate St. John Francis Regis. Born into a wealthy French family in 1597, John Francis Regis was so impressed by his Jesuit educators that he chose to enter the Society of Jesus at age 18. Following his ordination, the young priest undertook missionary work in various French towns. Most sermons of the day were poetic, but his were plain. They revealed the fervor within him and attracted people of all classes. He spent many mornings in the confessional or at the altar celebrating Mass. Afternoons were reserved to visits to prisons and hospitals. As France suffered from prolonged civil and religious strife, the Bishop of Viviers invited the charismatic young priest to work among his people. Some of them had been deprived of the sacraments for 20 years or more, and various forms of Protestantism were thriving. For 3 years, Father Regis traveled throughout the diocese, conducting missions. He succeeded in converting many people and in bringing many others back to religious observances. John Francis Regis spent the last years of his life preaching. His canonization came less than 100 years after his death in 1640. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You're listening to Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith, along with David Dawson and Damian Collado. You can go to our website at ccmedia.live. Under the Resources tab, you can find a prayer to consecrate your family to the Sacred Heart of Jesus today.
It's a good day to do it.
Check that out. Mm-hmm. Yes, ccmedia.live. Emily Chapman is our first guest today. She is a Catholic author, and today she's talking about her book called Mary, Mother of All. Good morning, Emily. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I love talking about Mary in books just because I love just talking about Mary in general. She's one of my favorite people to talk about, and I love teaching my son about the wonderful role that she plays in our church. So tell our listeners a little bit about this children's book, Mary, Mother of All.
Sure. It's based on Scott Hahn's book, Hail, Holy Queen. So if you are familiar with that book, you're going to be familiar with the ideas that we cover in our children's book. It really is meant to make those ideas accessible to children at a very young age. So I have 2 2-year-olds and a 4-year-old, and they both love the book. So it's it works for little children right up to bigger children. And is our goal is to give children a language of salvation history and to understand Mary's role in it, and just help them to see how rich and biblical the church's teachings on Mary are.
Yes, definitely. Well, okay, so it's meant for young children, so how do you explain salvation history to a 2-year-old? How does this book do that?
That is why they brought me in. Salvation history is the story of God's love for us, and it's a story filled with interesting characters and interesting people. And I don't expect my 2-year-old to understand salvation history. Like, we're working on potty training here. But there is an introduction to the characters and to the figures. Like, there's Mary, there's Bathsheba, there's Eve, and just starting to introduce them to these people so that they know names and they see that God has a plan, had a plan for Mary. God has a plan for our salvation. God has a plan for them, and to invite them into a relationship with their mama Mary. And so we do it and through engaging rhyme. The fun thing is my kids can almost all, they almost all have the books memorized at this point. So they read it along with me. Rhyme really helps get those truths into their heads, and then just through introducing the characters. And this is something that parents will be able to build upon. So my 4-year-old will ask really interesting questions, like we were talking about. There's a line in there where it talks about how Mary, undoes the knots that Eve, Mary is undoer of knots, undoing the knots that Eve kinked into salvation history. And he asked what that meant, and we talked about that. So there's an introduction that's very basic, and then as the children grow and they ask questions, the parents can help, the parents can learn more, and the parents can talk to their kids about it too.
And I have found that when my son was really young, that I also learn more things through children's books, and I love those rhyming books. So when he's picking the book up for the 8th time that day to read to him for the 8th time that day, I don't mind it because I love reading books like that as well. So what was the inspiration behind writing a book like this? Was there a need from parents to explain to their children exactly what this was or what this is in our church faith?
Both children and adults, there's a real lack of understanding of salvation history, just the arc of salvation history and how church teachings are, Scripture and tradition go together. They're not separate things. Scripture is what has given, tradition comes from Scripture, and tradition also helps us understand Scripture. So to make those truths very simple, very accessible to adults and children is something that, Scott's been working for a long time to do it, to make it accessible to adults. But it's not enough to just learn it at 25. Like, I was 25 years old before I learned anything about salvation history. I had been a Catholic most of my life. I'd left the church to be a Protestant for a while. And even as a Protestant, I didn't understand the arc of salvation history. It wasn't until I came back in the church and started reading Scott Hahn and ended up going to get my master's at Franciscan that I really understood what God was doing in the Old Testament and the New, and how they were related to each other and how they interpreted each other and what they had to say to me today in my relationship with Christ and my relationship with the church. church. And we don't want our kids waiting until they're 25 or 35 or 45 to learn these truths. Like, you want to live your whole life with it. You want to, you know, be growing in knowledge and holiness every single day. So the earlier we can start to make these truths accessible to children, the more they're going to be able to impact their heart and their mind and their soul and the way they live in the world, the more of an impact it's going to have on the church. And so I've worked with Scott for probably 20 years on different projects. I was his assistant in grad school, and then I've continued to work for the St. Paul Center. They've published all of my books. And Scott thought I was the person to take the ideas that he talked about in his books and start making them more accessible to children. So this is actually the first in a series of at least 6 books that we're doing.
Oh, fantastic.
That are based on Scott's books.
Emily, was Scott one of the reasons you came back into the Catholic Church? You know, his books and his writings?
In a tangential way. Mm-hmm. So I didn't read Scott till later, but one of his students, someone who had studied under him at Franciscan, was a coworker of mine when I was working in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And this friend had come back from the church in large part because of Scott. So this friend just started talking to me about faith, and it was through Frank Sheed and John Paul II and Christopher Dawson and others that I really came back to the faith. And then I discovered Scott and studied under him at school. And
that has been it's just so interesting that you were talking about why wait till you're 25. And mine was at a much later age, too, because we didn't have books like you're writing for kids. You know, it just wasn't out there, right? You know?
Yeah.
So this is so important what you're doing.
Yeah. No, there's wonderful books on Mary. There's wonderful books on the faith, on the Mass out there. But something that really helps kids and their parents, because lots of parents don't always get what Scott's writing about in his adult books either, or have time to read them.
Yeah.
I have a busy mom, so I get the time factor issue. But this makes it really helps connect the dots for kids and does it in a beautiful and engaging way. And with beautiful illustrations. So I love the Mary book, and I cannot wait for the Lamb's Supper book, which is coming out.
Oh, wow, there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
I love kid books, especially kid Catholic books, is a great reminder for adults. We're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Or, oh, that's a great reminder. I do remember that, but I forgot it for a while, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
We talk about the importance of starting to read to our children at an early age. We have seen the studies. We have seen the benefits of it. But talk about the benefits of introducing the Catholic faith to our children at a young age through these books.
Well, we want our children to know that they are called to a relationship with God, with his saints, with his mother. And these books help do that. So my family just got back yesterday. We're a little crazy this morning from a 2-week pilgrimage to Canada.
Oh, wow.
We went to the churches of Montreal and St. Anne de Beaupre. And it's, you know, my kids are, as I said, I have 2 2-year-olds and a 4-year-old, and there were definitely some moments that I questioned our sanity in taking them on a 2-week pilgrimage. But it was so sweet to see them, you know, whenever they see a cross, they love to kiss Jesus. And we were in the crypt church of St. Anne de Beaupre in Quebec, and I was with our youngest daughter, and the 2 little boys were kneeling over at beneath the crucifix, blowing kisses to Jesus. And I was like, this is why we do this. This is why we read these books. This is why we give them a language and an introduction, because we help capture their hearts. Like, before their heads can fully comprehend the theological truths of the faith, I mean, my head, I can't fully comprehend the theological truths of the faith, and I've been writing about it for 20 years. But their hearts are won. And they start to love Jesus, and they trust Jesus, and they, you know, they offer up their prayers to Mary and the saints. And when you have their hearts and you have their imaginations, like, it's much easier to form their minds as they grow. And so with these books, that's really what we're doing. We're capturing their hearts. We're giving them a language. We're calling them to a relationship. And that lays a foundation upon which, you know, God, with our help, you know, can build in the years to come.
I love that. Thank you so much. Emily Chapman, Catholic author of the book, Mary, Mother of All. Where can we go and pick up our copy?
Best Place is always straight from the publisher, so we love it when you can buy from Emmaus Road from the stpaulcenter.com. You can go to the St. Paul Center and click on books. And, of course, you can also get it from Amazon or Barnes & Noble or most places where books are sold. And if you have a Catholic bookstore in your area, we also love it if you, see if they carry it and you can patronize them, and if not, ask them if they'll order it. So lots of bookstores will order books, and that's a great way to support local Catholic booksellers. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Emily, for joining us. Emily Chapman, author of the book, Mary, Mother of All. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Definitely check that out. Damien, real quick, I wanted to mention a very important event with CASA, or really just kind of a brief announcement on how the foster care system in Baton Rouge is doing.
Okay. Oh, you want me to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, CASA is an organization that is supporting folks with the foster families, and they're looking for volunteers. It could be a great way in which you can help find the child's family, final family, when it's all said and done. And just go to our ccmedia.live. You'll get the information, and it'll tell you a little bit more.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. Well, Jeff Young, the Catholic Community,
considering
Rudy,
I didn't have
us.
The material in front of me.
You did.
That's
well.
Pretty
I
good.
I did
okay. Well, they need help, and I really wanted to talk about it as well, so definitely check them out.
You
Jeff Young, the Catholic Foodie, joins us when we return from the break.
35 past the hour on Wake Up. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado, and it's Friday. It is the weekend. It is Father's Day, and it is Jeff Young on the phone, the Catholic Foodie. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
So we're going to have Father's Day food, right?
I guess so. I mean, the day's coming whether we want it to or not, right? It's just tomorrow.
It's Sunday. But, no reason we couldn't stretch it out for 3 days. I say we start today and, just start to just keep it going. All of us who are dads. So
That's what we're doing over here anyway.
There you go. You do it anyway. You and I were discussing a little bit beforehand on what to cook, and I think you came up with vegetables, and I said, no, this is Father's Day.
Yeah.
Come on, Jeff. I don't remember the recipe that you had, and it's like, yeah, I'm going with the steak. And
there you go.
We got to do, somebody else is going to cook this for Dad, I would imagine. So you got to give us tips on.
I don't know.
Well,
I think, it's funny because I think a lot of times, you think about Mother's Day, right?
Yeah,
Mother's
yeah.
Day. It's everybody taking care of mom.
Right.
Right? It's like, mom doesn't cook. Take her out to eat, or you cook for her, whatever, something like that.
Yeah.
For Father's Day, though, I think it's kind of different, at least from my perspective. It's like, you let Dad do what he wants to do. So he's going to, stand out at the grill because he loves doing it.
All right.
And maybe have a little cocktail in his hand or cigar or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's
there
like,
you
it's
go.
It's a different thing for...
You got
for dads.
You got,
than
you got
for
the
mom.
Bell of approval from our Jeff over here. So,
I don't know. I find it. I think it's a little different.
Yeah. Oh well. No, you're absolutely right. I do love to cook, and that would be a lot of fun. And knowing somebody's going to come up behind me and clean would even be more fun. So there's another. Father's Day hint we can throw out there. And then put that cocktail in my hand.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm starting to get excited here. So look, I want to cook the perfect steak. This is something I'm not good at. I love grilling. Okay. And I love cooking anything, but I don't know why steak is my weakness. I don't know how to get that right. Do you have some tips?
Well, I do. Okay. I don't know if you're going to like them, but.
Don't. It's not vegetable steaks or anything like that.
Right?
Oh, okay.
It's
okay.
Like me. I was the same way. It's like I couldn't ever, and I think there's just too much variability on the grill.
Yeah.
When it comes to cooking steak. Like you can do chicken, you can do hamburgers. I mean, so many different things you could do on a grill that's just it just almost cooks itself.
Mm-hmm.
But steak is different.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't know how you like your steak. I like mine probably medium rare to medium, somewhere right around there.
The medium rare.
And
medium rare is
just
good.
So hard. From grill to grill, from day to day, I think it's just so hard to keep it consistent. And so what I ended up doing, and I can't remember now how I came across this method, but, you go to a place like Ruth's Chris,
Yeah.
They're who are known for steaks. They're not sure. cooking that steak on a grill like I have at my house.
Right.
Right. Right. And they have these ovens that are like, what, 800 degrees?
1,000 degrees.
Like, you know,
yes.
Uh-huh. It's something crazy like
that. Yeah.
So what I started doing is I take a cast iron skillet.
Okay.
And, first of all, I always start with the steaks at room temp. And so, you know, you hear people talk about that. They're like, oh, take it out the fridge like 20 minutes before, 30 minutes before.
Right.
I usually take it out and I season them.
Okay.
And I'll just leave them on the counter.
Let them marinate a little bit.
They may be sitting there for an hour. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how long they're there. They're there until I'm ready for them. Because they're not going to go bad.
Okay,
there
but health department people are like running off the road right now. But, you know, so we'll just tell them.
Well, that's what you call bureaucracy. Okay? So in my kitchen, there is no bureaucracy. So it's sitting there.
Okay.
And I go to get the grill, not the grill. I do it on a cast iron. So I have my propane tank, Dave. I know some people like to do it. They'll take their grill, they'll heat the grill up.
Yeah.
And put the cast iron on the grill to heat up, which is great. You could do that if you want to.
Sure.
I like to get the propane. I like to get the cast iron between 450 and 500 degrees.
I
know I can do that, and I can be consistent with that heat.
Okay.
If I'm using a propane tank.
Gotcha.
So I'll go set that up out there. And put butter. I like to use butter, so
yeah.
I'll put some butter on once it's hot, because I'll let that thing go and get hot. And I got my little temperature reader
uh-huh.
that I'm aiming at it. Let it get hot, and as soon as it's hot, I'll take the steaks and I'll put the butter in to take the steaks and put them in there, and leave them for 2 minutes. Smoke everywhere.
Yeah, I bet.
Right? And I've got thicker steaks, right?
Uh-huh.
Thicker steaks, so it's not like a thin cut. And smoke is like it, you know, you think you're going to set the whole place on fire.
Right.
It has to be outside.
And,
sense. Just let them go. 2 minutes, and then I take some tongs and flip them over after 2 minutes and let them go another two. And I take it from there, and I have my oven inside is already preheated to 350. I'll go take them inside and let them sit in the oven. I'll put some more butter on top.
Yeah, kind of baste it, I guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for probably, I don't know, it just depends on the steak. You know, it depends on the thickness, but maybe like another 3 or 4 minutes just sitting in the oven at 350.
Do you cover it up or just put it in the oven?
Just stick them in on a pan and
right.
throw them in there.
That same pan. You just take that pan off the grill that you seared
well,
it with.
Well, not that. I take them out of the cast iron and put them into like I got to remove them because that cast iron is too hot.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Right. And I take them out of the cast iron, put them onto like a pan, you know, that'll go in the oven,
mm-hmm.
and just throw them in the oven. And usually, I mean, it's just very consistent.
Okay.
Very consistent.
That sounds
every
like
once
good
in
tips.
A while, I may come across a steak where it's like a little thicker than usual.
Yep.
And it may be a little too pink in the middle,
mm-hmm.
and if that's the case, I can just stick it back in the oven for a few minutes or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But for the most part, consistent, and you get that nice kind of a crust on the outside. It's with the seasoning and the searing that happens on the cast iron.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Oh,
what do you season yours with, Jeff? A lot of people just use pepper and salt, but you add anything besides that?
A lot of times I'll do just salt and pepper. Every once in a while, I really like, Paul Prudhomme has this seasoning salt,
mm-hmm.
and I really like the flavor of that, and so sometimes I'll just sprinkle some of that on there too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any particular steak that you recommend? Like, is a ribeye tougher than a? What I mean by tougher is tougher to cook versus a T-bone, and does the bone matter versus a boneless?
Well, the bone's always. I think, a lot of things happen or can help to keep the steak's juicy,
mm-hmm.
right? Bringing them to room temp is one of those things in the beginning. Bone in kind of helps with that. And then also, once they're cooked, is letting them rest.
Mm.
You let them rest for 5 minutes before you cut into them.
Okay.
It helps to kind of seal the juices in there. But a lot of times, I prefer ribeyes. I just always have, I think, since I was a kid. That's what my dad used to cook. And
okay.
I love them. And they also, a lot of times, I love that little rim on the ribeye that's so extra juicy and kind of extra fatty.
The little extra fat ring that goes around.
Yeah, you get one with a little marble. Make sure you got marble in it, man. I tell you, that makes it happen.
Well, I mean, I could do this. You guys gave me peace of mind because I'm always intimidated by steaks. For one thing, they're very expensive. So I don't want to screw it up, you know, and yeah, and so this sounds like something that's kind of forgiving there, especially if you're going to put it in the oven, because flipping it around on the grill, that's a pretty fast process, and that's a lot of time. I'll burn a steak, or it'll come out tough, and I'm so disappointed.
Yeah.
So, you know, this sounds really good.
Yeah, the key is to make sure you don't overcook it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And the thing, one of the things that is good about this, too, is if we have people coming over, and I need to do, you know, more steaks than can fit in my cast iron.
Right. That's a good point.
This is easy to do multiple batches.
That's right.
Because you're talking total of 4 minute cook time in the cast iron.
Okay.
Right.
You know, so it's 2 minutes on one side, you turn them over.
Or right? Because it's Father's Day, you have the steak and let them all eat pizza. You know? What do you say?
Oh. Or tuna fish.
Good tips, Jeff Young. Thanks a bunch. How do we find out more about you and recipes and stuff like that?
CatholicFoodie.com is the digital hub, I guess you'd say. And
okay.
All the socials, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just look for Catholic Foodie.
All right. Thanks again, Jeff Young. Good to talk to you.
My pleasure. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. You too. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking about the Latin Mass for kids when we come back on Wake Up.
Minutes before the top of the hour, and you're listening to Wake Up. Damian Colano, Gabby Smith, David Dawson, and now our special guest, Adelaide Hude. She is a Catholic author and illustrator here to talk about a book, Sanctus, 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 and it's an illustration as well as an introductory to the Latin Mass for children. Something I think that's been needed for a long time, especially for us adults.
Oh, yeah,
good morning, Adelaide.
Yeah.
Good morning, Damian. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. The first question I'm going to ask you is, what inspired you to do this at this time? Because we all know Pope Francis has kind of put the quietus on a number of things, including Latin Masses being said without special permission. I'm not going to go into the details, but you know where I'm coming from. So why now?
Well, it's because the Lord had myself and my husband fall in love with the Latin Mass just a couple of years ago, and this book has actually been a long time coming. It was a project he put on my heart in 2006 that blossomed into this book, and the timing just all worked out in his providence.
Well, that's great, because, all right, so you've been attending Latin Masses, apparently.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm a recent Latin Mass attendee, but it's being a cradle Catholic and really coming into my faith in my early 20s, it's just blossomed into mm-hmm. this. It's all led me to this point.
A lot of young families are becoming more and more interested in the Latin Mass, which I find very interesting in regards to, you know, what the Church is asking us to be aware of. Let's talk about the book, though. How does your book touch the hearts of the young people? In other words, how do you help us understand the Latin Mass and with the English translations, I hope, that are within the book?
They are.
Good.
I know it can be an overwhelming experience if you're new or if you're young. So I went through and tried to give the highlights of the Mass in forms of the text and as the text goes, and then correspond that with images of what's going on during the Mass, but also what's going on in heaven during the Mass, because that's just a beautiful part of the Mass that years I had no clue about.
Mm-hmm. No, that is
beautiful. Like that.
Was it difficult getting started, and then once you got rolling, things kind of fell into place? Tell us a little bit about you putting the book together, and how long did it take?
Well, that's an interesting story. When I finally was inspired to do this project as a children's book, I actually wrote the whole thing for the current Mass, the Novus Ordo. And when it was getting closer, you know, to me trying to send it to publishers and stuff, my husband suggested, well, why don't you do it on the Latin Mass? Because that's what we're going to now. And
yeah.
'Cause I had this conflict in my heart. I'd done all this work, and I realized he was right. The Lord was calling me to change it, so I kind of scrapped what I had earlier, started afresh, used some of the same ideas and notions, especially about what's going on in heaven, and then mm-hmm. just grabbed the red missal and started working.
Wow. Did you find a number of differences between the Latin Mass and the ordinary form or the Novus Ordo?
I did, yes. I found there are just a lot more prayers. It's a longer Mass,
mm-hmm.
but mm-hmm. it really lends to contemplation, and it's less about me, which was kind of weird and disconcerting at first, because you're like, oh, what's my part? What am I supposed to do here, there? And,
right.
But it flows, and I loved that, and it kind of, it really lent itself to me drawing these heavenly realities in an even greater way, if that makes sense. There's a lot more saints listed in the Mass, a lot more prayers listed, and it just all came together, I think, as it was supposed to.
Yeah. Mm. Why do you think the Latin Mass is so powerful?
Well, I think it's our ancient heritage. So it's mm-hmm. been around so long, and people have been worshiping. I mean, so many of the saints have been worshiping God this way. So to join in that is something special.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts, if you don't mind me going away from the book for a minute? Are you still able to celebrate Latin Mass in your particular church diocese? And if so, what would you tell someone who's never been to a Latin Mass, maybe why they should attend?
Yes, I'm blessed to still be able to. Very thankful for that. And I would say, don't worry about getting lost. You will. it takes going a few times, but you'll recognize parts. And also, I mentioned the Red Missal. They often have those in the back of the church, the English Latin translation or Spanish mm-hmm. Latin, depending on which one you grab. Okay. Don't worry about that the first couple times. That's the advice that I was given, and it helps a little bit. Because I know there's part of me that just wants to follow along exactly, and unless yes. you've been going for a few times, it's really hard. But just get into it. Go to a Missa Cantata, a sung Mass, because those are beautiful, and you'll be able to pick out parts a little bit easier. But then when you really want to learn it, go to some low Masses without the singing. Uh-huh. You can hear the priest a little bit better and join in the prayers a little bit better that way, mm-hmm.
I'll be yeah. silently. You know, into it. Yeah, I find it interesting because the Latin Mass was the only way we could attend Mass, at least when I was a kid. It was Latin Mass. Did I understand what was going on? No, not really. But I got the grasp of it as time went on, and it was interesting, at least. Dave's looking at me like, what are you talking about?
Well, really. I grew up in a time, you know, right after Vatican II, so I missed all of that.
Yeah. And yeah. for me, until I was about 7 or 8,
yeah.
I mean, it was Latin. The priest, all I saw was his back during the Mass.
Yeah.
But yet, I think, do you think that there's a special form of unity with the Latin Mass, which is why I think it needs to continue.
Worldwide, yes.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. So share your final thoughts on that, Adelaide.
Well, I've heard that it's the undoing of the Tower of Babel, because right. it brings all nations together under this one language. You can go to anywhere in the world, and you'll feel at home, because it'll be the Mass you recognize. Maybe you won't understand the sermon, but it's a great point of unification between the cultures, and even within parishes, you know, we have all sorts of people who speak different languages coming to this one same Mass versus, you know, having the separate Spanish Mass right, and the separate right. English and the separate Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it unifies that way.
I love it.
Hey, and last
worldwide,
I heard,
unity.
Seminarians are still having to learn Latin. I'm sure it's for a reason.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope so.
So, well, Adelaide, thank you so much. Where can they go to get your book, which is actually somewhat of a missal?
It is. It's an introductory missal, and it's available now at tanbooks.com. Just came out this week, and at other fine retailers.
Awesome. Adelaide Hugh, thank you so much, and best of luck. I hope it's a bestseller before it's over with.
Thank you so much, Damien. I appreciate that.
Okay. Have a good weekend, and happy feast day of Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Indeed.
Yes. Thank you. To you, too. God bless you all.
God bless. All right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I think and there is a need
long
for
overdue.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Like
especially
she said,
learned it was, at an early age.
It was put on her heart, and she did it. And congratulations, because I'm sure it was tough to do, yeah. Especially in this time when you know, yeah. They're trying to curtail the number of Latin masses. But we're going to move on, and we're going to close our show with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, you gave us your life, and you gave your life for us. Your Sacred Heart is ablaze with love. Your hand extends towards me and towards all, offering love, mercy, and healing. Sacred Heart of Jesus, may your love transform me. Burn away my hesitation that I may become your love and radiate with your mercy. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. Catch you back here Monday at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.